right, when you start hearing this sexy voice, you know who it is. Hey, guys and gals, thanks for coming back for another episode of this remarkable podcast. I know deep down it's really becoming your favorite. Let me just clear my throat a little bit. I know you miss me. Welcome back to the They Gave Us a Podcast podcast. Good to have you guys back. Good to be back. I know it's been a while. It's been a hell of a long time. Let me just get that out of the way. The last time that I uploaded was, I believe when I looked, it said November 19th, maybe. Yeah, that's a long fucking time ago. And I hate dating this podcast. I already told you guys, but I'm just going to tell you what today is anyway. Today is Saturday, April 17th, 2021. And last time we left off, I had informed the podcast listeners that in January, I would be going away to basic training, basic military training. And here I am. I survived. I didn't die. So I'm back. I left for I took flight to head to basic training like January 5th, something like that. And after that podcast in November, celebrated, you know, Thanksgiving, of course, my birthday in December, Christmas, all that good stuff. And now I'm here. So right now I'm currently recording from my dorm room in, in what they call tech school, technical school, essentially here, just learning my the tricks and the trade of my job, what my job will be. Which is fixing aircrafts. That's pretty damn cool, if you ask me. I've done some shit so far, some stuff I can't really talk about, but, man, that shit's kind of dope. I'm really liking it, so we'll see where it takes me and where this goes. But, yeah, I'm back, man. I survived BMT. I told you guys that after I got back, I'd try to upload, something regarding what I went through. You know, when I got there or before I got there, I had the intention of like keeping like a journal just to kind of jot down what happened during each day, just so I can come back and have some stuff to tell you guys, like some nitty gritty shit. Honestly, it wasn't basic military training. It really wasn't what I expected. I didn't have the time to write down as much as I wanted to, simply because your time is their time. Like, you don't do shit on your own time. You do shit when they tell you to do shit. So I just really didn't have the ability to write anything. But, I'm going to try to remember as much as possible and cram it into this podcast. If I forget something, which I know I will, after I upload this, I certainly apologize. But hopefully I got some good stories for you guys. But yeah, let me say it's good to be back, and it's good to be actually living my life, because when you're stuck at basic training, man, you don't have any rights. Like, you are, and I hate like using this term, but you're really like a slave. When you're in prison, like prisoners have more advantages and more benefits than you have being in basic training. Prisoners have TV, like they have radio. They get recess where they get to go out and stare at the fucking sky, wishing they were somewhere else. They get to go play basketball, whatever sport is allowed for them to be played. They get phone calls whenever they can, I guess, and they get visitors. Yeah, we get none of that at BMT. You don't get visitors. You get phone calls, but it's up to them when you get the phone call, or even if you get the phone call at all. And I will elaborate on that more, because that shit still pisses me off to this day about the phone calls. There's no TV for us. There's a TV, but they only send video up to it. You can't hook anything up to it in terms of like an antenna or anything. what else did I say? Recess or something of that nature. They take us outside when, you know, there's stuff for them to teach us or stuff to do. We can't go outside on our own. We can't leave on our own. We're pretty much stuck in the dorms and confined to the dorms unless they tell you otherwise. So when you're like in a classroom and you leave the classroom, you have to clean up the classroom. You essentially have to clean up everything there. at their discretion and or to their discretion or whatever. But so that's what I mean, that prisoners have more rights and privileges and benefits than we did. But it was a crazy experience. You know, I flew out there. I got to the airport. Got to the airport like early afternoon. Literally didn't leave the airport till about 9 p.m. You know, they stuck us in this room, which every airport has a place like this. It's for military and service members. I forget what the sort of the room is called, but you can like go in there between flights and like chill, hang out. They have like food and snacks for you. So it was pretty cool. We hung in there, and people started filing in. You know, went from like 10 people to like 100 people, 100 trainees. So, you know, the bus comes and picks us up, ready to take us to the worst experience of our lifetime. And we had no idea what to expect. And so, you know, all in the airport, they come to the airport screaming. So we're all like in the airport waiting, and they're like, you know, go here, stand here, line up here, take two masks, put the mask on, put one in your bag, take this paper, sign this, just like fucking telling us what to do, everywhere to go. So we all get on the bus afterwards. And this is cool ass bus driver, black dude. I guess he previously served, and he was telling us like how he appreciated, you know, our service. Probably the coolest experience before we got to the shitty experience. But he was like, all right, he's like, look, I'm gonna give you guys one last phone call on this bus ride, because you're not gonna be able to get one for a while. And he was so right about that. So he's like, look, turn your phone on, call whoever you need to call. Just let them know, you know, what the deal is, and let them know, hopefully you'll speak to them later. So, you know, I'll call whoever I need to call, bam, get that out of the way. Turn my phone off, everybody turn their phone off. We get there, we thank the bus driver. Immediately, military training instructor comes on the bus. Everybody get off the bus now. Like, oh shit, here we go. Everybody get off the bus. It's dark. It's probably like 10:30 at night, maybe. We're sort of like in this arena, not arena, but like a stadium, I guess you would say. Like a reception area, I would say that's better. It's got the lights on, it's at nighttime. So we got military training instructors yelling at us, telling us where to go. And it's hard to hear them because at nighttime, it's night, so it's like quiet in Texas, and all you hear is their voice just like kind of reverberating, if that's the word, like into the sky. So we're hearing, like, we're trying to listen to one instructor, but we're hearing what the other instructor is saying, like on the other side of the reception area. It was just crazy. So they gave us like black bags. They stuck like jackets in there, hats in there, like notebooks, like pretty much everything we'd need for like the next 8 weeks. They stuck in that bag. And they gave us like an MRE, which is like a meal replacement, just so we could eat for the night. So we did that. So our military train instructor comes, grabs us, takes us to like a certain other area. We sit on the floor, sit on a cold ass Texas ground at night. He's like, all right, open your MRE, eat it quick. So this is the first time I've actually had like an MRE in my hand. So I don't have any nails. I'm trying to use my brute force, my brute strength to like rip it open, which is like difficult. I'm trying to use my teeth. I finally get it open, and inside it has like a heating pouch for you to heat up whatever food is in there. Well, we weren't allowed to use the heating pouch. So if you got like chili mac, if you got beef stew, if you got mac and cheese, if you got like linguine, you had to eat that shit cold. So whatever, I can't remember what I had. It might have been like a burrito mix or something like that. Whatever I had to eat cold. I had to eat whatever like trash cookie or cracker was in there. And then you just throw it away. Like, even if you weren't finished, you were finished. Because you can't take anything. You can't pocket anything. So if they had like snacks, you can't pocket the snacks and take it upstairs to the dorms. So I had to throw all that shit away. So everybody gets done. He takes us upstairs. And we've pretty much got like our crew, like our flight, which is the people we're going to be with the entire time. So we all go upstairs. First one in takes the first bed. Second one in takes the second bed. And I forgot to mention the military training instructor that came over to us. His name was Technical Sergeant Harvey, Tech Sergeant Harvey. Probably one of the coolest dudes like I've ever met. And if it was under different circumstances, him and I would probably get a beer together and just like talk shit and have fun. He was really the coolest dude. For him to be a military training instructor, he had like his moments of him being strict and him being tough. And then he had his moments of like him giving us like the best fucking war speech ever. Like we're about to go to war, I'm giving you this speech for motivation. He was really an awesome dude. So he takes us upstairs. You know, we dump out our bags on the bed. And so we got a bed, and then we have a locker and a chair that's next to our locker. So we weren't allowed to sit on our beds, and we were only allowed to sit on the chairs when we were told to sit on the chairs. So we were pretty much just standing there at like 11 p.m., 12 p.m., 1 a.m., 12 a.m., 1 a.m., just kind of standing there, just waiting for everybody else to kind of flush in to the dorm so that we have a full flight. So once everybody gets in, we help them unpack their shit. It's like, at that point, it's like 2 a.m. He's like, all right, the night's over. I'm leaving. I'll see you guys in the morning. So we all go to bed, or we try to go to bed. There's people like crying first night, zero night. There's people crying. So we wake up, you know, we thinking maybe we sleep to like 9 a.m., 10 a.m. since we were up so late. Nah, 5:45 a.m., which is like the song to fucking wake you up every morning. We'd hear that play every morning at 5:45 a.m. for the next 8 weeks. I think it's called Reveille or Reveal, one of the two. I never really like pinpointed what it was, but so we heard that. We get up, we get dressed, and we're just waiting for like the MTI to come in. So we're expecting Technical Sergeant Harvey to come in. We're like, okay, he was a cool dude. Nah, not at all. We hear lady entering the dormitory, and yo, Technical Sergeant Bice. Yo, I got like a love hate or like a like hate relationship with her. She was tough as nails. She had these eyes that will literally see through you, and she could tell when you're lying and you're telling the truth. It was insane. Her eyes were just like so intense. And like if you look directly at them, you turn to stone and shit. Yo, she was tough. She's a tough lady. And you know, a lot of us didn't like her, a lot of us hated her, but she definitely got her point across, and she did her job very well. So she comes in, you know, we have our first day or whatever, day one. We take care of that. All that shit's over. Day two comes, and we're like, okay, like we want to impress her, like we want to make a good impression. We want to show her that we're ready. Like we're looking forward to impressing her. So 5:45 comes, and she walks in, and we already awake. Like this is day two. We're already awake. We got our clothes on. We got our sneakers on. We're all standing up, just waiting for her to come in. And we're thinking in our minds, yeah, like she gonna like us for this. Like we up early. She know we ready to get it. And she came in. She saw us out of bed. She was pissed. She was heated. She was like, everybody, take your sneakers off and get back in bed right now. She did not want us up early. She considered that cheating, I guess. Like we're trying to cheat the day by waking up before we're supposed to, something like that, whatever. Made us get back in bed. And we laid there until she told us to get out. So we laid there in our clothes until she told us to get out of bed, put our sneakers back on. It was crazy, man. Every day was like Groundhog's Day. Every day was the same. So at 5:45, wake up. We make our beds. We get dressed or vice versa, depending on what they want you to do. Then you go downstairs. We do assembly where like we sing the Air Force song, we say the Airman's Creed, and then we head to either breakfast or we head back upstairs and start the day. Every morning, every day we had like 10 minutes for 45 of us to shave and brush our teeth. We also had 12 minutes for 45 grown men to take a shower. they never gave us a lot of, they never gave us enough time to do anything. I think that was like the point. Like, they always wanted us to feel stressed and under pressure. They never wanted us to feel like relaxed, which I get, but every time we got in trouble, all we would hear was, "What the piss? What the piss, trainee?" And it's like, they say "what the piss" because they, I guess they can't curse now because of the new Air Force guidelines. They want, I guess they want military instructors to be more personable. So they don't want, you know, there's some shit that like happened where I'm not really going to talk about, but there was some abuse of power. And I guess they wanted to change things around. So they changed a lot of the ways that the military instructors operated in terms of what they did and said. So it was a little bit softer than I expected. Like when I went in, I literally thought I was going to be like the most pussy person there. I thought I was going in and it was going to be dudes that held their breath underwater for 10 minutes and could deadlift 500 pounds and just had testosterone coming out of their ears. You know what I mean? Like that's what I thought it was going to be. And it was nowhere close. My old ass at 37 years old was probably one of the toughest people there. Like, I was made... I was... Tech Sergeant Harvey, Tech Sergeant Bice, they trusted me, I guess, because of my age. I was 37. I was literally older than them and everybody, the other 45 guys. So, I think they trusted me just because of my age. And, you know, they saw some responsibility in me. I guess they made me a leader. I wasn't dorm chief. They made another guy dorm chief. Dorm chief is the dude that's like in charge of everybody. He like, you know, he's I guess he reports. He's his job is to keep the flight in check, and he reports to the MTIs. And so, you know, he was pretty cool. But I think people looked at me as more of a leader than they looked at him, which I didn't mind. But yeah, I thought that I was going to be the most like sucker person there, and I wasn't. So it was, in terms of the experience of that, it really wasn't what I expected. You know, we got in trouble a lot. I really think that our Tech Sergeant Bice, I really think she hated us because we got in so much trouble. We just didn't listen. You know, lights out is at 9 p.m., which is 2100. So 2100 lights out when the MTIs leave, like you're in bed, lights are out, nobody's up, nobody's talking, we're all in bed going to sleep. Well, you know, us being us, we didn't go to bed at 9 o'clock. So I think like 9:08, we had an MTI walk in. It's like, oh, y'all awake? Oh, this is what we doing now? Like, he's like, all right, prepare for tomorrow. So that was a Friday night. So Saturday morning, she comes in. She's pissed. She's like, I wanted this to be a good day. I had stuff planned. We were going to have fun today. And now I'm going to have fun. And when she said that, it was like, fuck. Like, we fucked ourselves. She made us. We did push-ups. We did sit-ups. Like flutter kicks, like whatever exercise she wanted. And then we made beds all day, and then we had fire drills. So let me break this down for you. So the beds, you got to make like hospital corners and some stupid shit like that. So she give us 10 minutes to make the bed. And then, like, so she'd say, 10 minutes, make your bed. Boom. So 10 minutes, she times you. You got to make that bed. Usually I would make mine in like 5.5, 6 minutes. It didn't really matter. You just had to make it in 10 minutes. When the bed was made in 10 minutes, she'd tell everybody, stop. And then she'd say, 45 seconds, strip your bed. So 45 seconds, we got to strip everything off the bed. When we're done, 10 minutes, make the bed again. Yo, we literally did that for 7 hours on that Saturday. On top of doing exercise. And then we had fire drills whenever she wanted to. So the fire drill, we were on the third floor in our dorm. So the fire drill, she said, fire, fire. We'd all head downstairs in an orderly fashion in one straight line, walk all the way down to our exercise. It was called the PT pad. Walk all the way down to the PT pad. She'd make sure everybody was there when we got there. We turn around, we come all the way back, walk upstairs to the third floor. then we'll make our beds again. And then in the middle of making the beds, whenever she felt like it, she'd say, fire drill. We go all the way downstairs, walk all the way to the PT pad. We did that, and the entire Saturday was wasted doing those three things: exercise, fire drills, and making our bed. Yo, we were smoked, and I think people really broke down. She gave us a phone call after that, and she knew what she was doing. She gave us like a 1 minute phone call after that to like for us to hear our family's voice, to like let it sink in that she's not fucking around. And there was several people that cried on that phone call. She was brutal. Like, she knew how to break us down. And it was rough, but like every day was the same. We never had time to do anything just because that's how it's set up. We had like Sundays we'd be by ourselves. That's the only day that the military training instructors weren't there. So, you know, Sundays were like kind of my day, because I'm not really a religious person, but on Sundays they have religious services that they'll show on TV. So like they show the religious service, I'd go in the room and watch it, and I just cry simply because like I missed everything. I missed my life outside of BMT. It was like my mind literally tricked me while I was there, literally tricked me into believing that this was going to be my life for the rest of my life. Like I would never be able to go anywhere. I'd always be told what to do by these MTIs to the day I died. And that's what it feels like to be in jail. And now I know, and now I will never go to jail. But it was more of a mental game than anything else, honestly. The physical was nothing. Like, even me being 37, you know, I'm still in good shape. The physical was nothing. You know, they had us marching around and walking around with, like, sacks on our backs and everything else in the hot weather. That was nothing. But the physical, the mental stuff, that's the worst, man, because you miss everything about, like, your life. It was really tough. I didn't get mail a lot just because the mail was... you know, with COVID and everything else, the mail was slowed down. Like I had letters that was sent out and dated like January 10th, and I didn't get the letter till like the second week of February. So like, there's other people getting letters, and I'm just, you know, that's really what made it hard. I didn't have pictures or letters or anything to sort of keep me at bay. But I mean, just the experience in general, I'm leaving out a lot of stuff. And that's just because I can be here all day talking about this, man. It was, you know, like for one of the things I really hated was no matter where you went. So just the whole like bubble, just the whole area of the basic training, like whether it's a janitor, whether it's like someone working at the cafeteria, whether it's somebody taking your picture, whether it's somebody give you like a shot, like a COVID shot or whatever, or a shot in your arm. Yo, they were all, I guess they're all told to treat trainees like shit, because there was literally nobody nice to us there. Like they all talk to us like shit, talk down to us. And I guess like that's put in to instill some sort of discipline, I guess, or to make you humble. But man, that's rough to go through like 8 weeks of just people talking shit to you and you're not able to say anything back. That kind of changes your thought frame and the way you approach certain things and the way you approach certain people. So it was torture for me just because I was like the only one there that actually had a family, that had kids. And it was tough. There was days I cried. You know, I had a calendar, which I'll probably put in a frame and hang up. I had a calendar in my book that I scratched out every day. I X'd out every day. Like Tuesday, go to sleep. Wednesday, wake up, scratch Wednesday. Wednesday, go to sleep. Thursday, wake up, scratch Thursday. I did that every day. And I now realize that I kind of tortured myself by doing that. But I just wanted to know how many days I had left. I actually do that right now, like in my dorm here at my technical school. I think I have like 25 days left. I've been counting off every day since I've been here, and it's gone from 71 days to now 25. So I think realistically I just want to be home, but This has definitely put a lot of things in perspective for me. And I'm actually pretty glad that I did it. You know, now that I'm out of BMT, I can say that I'm glad that I did it and went through it. It's not an experience that I would do again. Although there was like some people in my flight who just loved to be there. I don't know why, but they love to be there. There's people like who got injured that left. There's people who just left because they kind of faked like being crazy and they faked being injured and they wanted to leave. But nah, man, even though I was injured, man, I fought through it. I stayed, you know, I had a purpose of being there. And it was an okay experience. It really wasn't too bad. I'm just happy to be out now and I'm able to go home soon to see family and see my kids, see everybody I've missed, and hopefully continue to now faithfully and regularly upload some podcast episodes for you guys. I know it was inconsistent between November and now just because you know, it's like I said, I really didn't have time to write stuff down. And obviously I didn't have my phone, so I couldn't do an episode while at BMT. That'd be some crazy shit. They literally had our phones locked up, so we had no access to them at all until they provided us with them. But yeah, I think one of the worst experiences there was eating. We had chow, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We couldn't eat anything in between there, and we couldn't take anything from chow upstairs. So imagine this. Imagine us going into the dining facility as a flight. So there's already a flight in there eating. So as we're going in, that flight is being rushed out. So we're going in, they're being rushed out. And then there's a flight behind us waiting for us to go in and eat. And then we'll be rushed out and they'll come in. And that's pretty much how the process of chow was, three times a day, the entire time we were there. So you'd go in, you'd start at the beginning, get your food. There's already an MTI behind you screaming in your ear while you're standing there looking stupid, holding your tray, waiting for them to give you your food. And then you sidestep from left to right all the way down till you get your drink. And then you go sit down and you eat that fucking food. Now, when you eat the food, you got 7 to 10, you got like 10 minutes to eat. So they tell you, but 6 or 7 minutes into that, they start telling you to get up and get out. So if you're not finished, you're finished. So it was rough. It was really rough to do that every day, to like not have like that time to just sit down and eat. Like this ain't Burger King. Like you're not going in getting a burger and relaxing. You're going in, you're eating under pressure, and then you're getting out. And there's no, like, you can get seconds, but you just don't have time to eat seconds. So you're just stuffing everything. It's like mashed potatoes with orange juice, and like you're just stuffing it down. That was probably one of the worst experiences there. So, yeah, if I figure out anything else that I'm leaving out, I'll certainly make another episode about it. But again, I just want to give you guys, you know, just my rundown, a quick story of how BMT was. It's been, like I said, it's been a while since I uploaded, and I needed to share that information and get it out. So, as I always say, this is the They Gave Us a podcast. You can always catch the podcast on the majority of your podcast listening platforms. You can get the podcast from there. And you can always, of course, hit me up or check out the page on Instagram. The Instagram page has the same name of the podcast. So, hey, like I always say, man, I appreciate you guys and gals listening. And I hope you enjoyed my horrible time at BMT. I hope you enjoy the story about it. But I'll be uploading soon. I'll catch you guys later. Peace as always. Love you.